Well, we have been looking at storms, and we are finding out that storms that come into believers' lives come for a reason. That it isn't just happenstance, it isn't just life as it were, but we are experiencing from time to time storms because of the purpose that God has given us. Amen? Because we have a destiny. Because God has destined us to wonderful things in His kingdom, to be a part of what He wants to do in the world, establishing His kingdom on earth. Let me just say this in opening this up this morning. God doesn't change His mind about that which He has ordained. And in the very beginning, when God gave the decree to Adam and blessed him and said, replenish the earth, fill it up, and all of these things, God's mind never has been changed about that. That's not something that He has looked at and determined that, well, maybe we need to do something else. Maybe we need to go to point B or step C or something like that. His intention never has changed. Never has. See, the Bible says of God that He's not a man that He should lie. There's no variableness nor shadow of turning in Him. God doesn't have to decide to do something differently because of something that happens in the meantime. What needs to happen is that He get His counsel to His people so that His people can then make war according to God's plan. Amen? Now, God has chosen to involve you and I in what He's doing in the earth. And that means that we have to learn His ways. Now, that's difficult because we created religious things, right? And mankind has created religious ways and aspects and formulas whereby we worship God. But are we worshiping God truly when we use those? Are we worshiping Him truly? You see, in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, the true test of whether we're worshiping in spirit and in truth is then whether or not we're worshiping in faith. For instance, what you gave this morning in the offering, did you give it in faith? If you gave it in faith, then it pleases God. And corresponding blessing comes on that. Now, if it's just a show, if it's just someone needs to see me put something in the plate, you know, because I'm in church, there's no faith involved in that. See? Now, see, God is a lavish, luxurious giver. Right? He is. And He wants to pour out blessing. Amen. He's not really pleased with the 30 and the 60-fold. But if that's all He can get to you, then He's going to do His best to get that to you. He is a 100-fold return God. He desires to lavishly and luxuriously pour out His blessing in our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Why? That was His original intention. In the very beginning when He spoke to Adam, and it's interesting when you study this out, look at it. And you know that Brother Copeland has done an extensive study on the blessing, written a book about it, and it's out there, and there's deep revelation in that, that will do all of the body of Christ good. And one of the things he points out is that, well, let's just turn to Genesis 1 and 26, first of all. We'll just we'll get to storms in a minute, but we will look at the deterrent to a storm first. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And for the sake of time, I'll go ahead and read this as some of you find your place. You're familiar with the scripture. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete," somebody say complete.
Complete.
"Complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." Now watch this. "So God created man in his own image." Creating man in his image meant that man would be in the same place of authority, to exercise the same kind of authority. And this is mentioned, in the plan of God before the man is actually created. So this is the plan of God. Now, my point to you is that that hasn't changed. God hasn't changed his mind. Now, he gave mankind authority over all of these things. Not mankind authority over mankind, to lord it over mankind. But he gave us authority in this earth realm. What does the scripture say? God has given into the hands of men the earth, but the heavens belong unto the Lord. Right? See, our authority is in this realm. Whose responsibility is it to recapture this planet for the glory of God? It's the church's responsibility. This is, and this is interesting, because you go to Mark 16 and Jesus said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." So how are we going to recapture the world for Jesus? Preaching the gospel, which means we're going to be doing what? From the Greek, what does it mean? Preach the gospel. Come on, if you want to translate it from the Hebrew, what does it mean? But now, you can't preach the gospel without saying. How did God create all that we've come to realize in the world? How did he create it? By saying. God said, "Let there be light." Of course, it's translated "light be," right? Very direct. Now, I like to think about these things, because it's interesting, because we need to think into this as much as we possibly can. And the Lord deals with me along this line. When he said, "Let there be light," was he saying, "Let there," somebody turn a light on, I can't see anything in here. We're going to create some stuff and it's just as dark as it can be. Turn the light on. Is that what he was doing? Why did he say, "Let there be light"? Man hadn't been created. Well, why did he say it? The earth was void and without form, and light and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Right? But light represents something that is beneficial to every one of us. I like to think of it this way, and you can look into it. But the Bible says, when wisdom was speaking of itself, it said, "I was in the beginning. God created me in the beginning." Light for us is comprehension. So could God have been calling wisdom into existence? Let there be comprehension. Because he could see. He didn't have to call light on the scene just so that he could dispel darkness off of the earth. Because there wasn't anybody there that really needed the light. The angels didn't need it. God didn't need it. Spirit of God didn't need it. Jesus didn't need it. Man didn't need it. Let there be light, or light be. See, you and I can't even operate without comprehension. You cannot be a successful Christian apart from hearing from the Lord. You and I need a word from God. I live to hear from Him. The Bible's good. Praise God. It's the word of the living God. I mean, this is God, in effect, in the word. Jesus said, this is life. And the scripture says that Jesus is the word. Right? Why is there a difference when God speaks to your spirit apart from you reading the word? Why is there a difference? Why does a word from God turn you around on your heels, but you can read the Bible for hours and sit in the same place? See, God wants us to understand. Well, let's put it this way. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? Does it say faith comes by the word of God? It first sets it up by saying that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. All right. So if the word of God prepares me, like we like to say around here, you and I need to be familiar with the Bible, reading through it. Yearly is a good thing. I didn't say study through it. There's a time for study. But you need to be familiar with the word of God so that you can have it as a backdrop, so that when the word comes from God to speak to your spirit, you know that's God speaking to me. If you don't know the word of God and you hear a voice, it may not agree with the word of God, but because it felt good, you got goosebumps, right? You've got to have a foundation in the word of God to know that that's the word of God. He said, judge or test the spirits to see if they be of God. Well, there would be no need to judge or test the spirits, except that they are very similar. Come on now. The sound of it is very similar to the word of God. Look at what Satan is doing. Satan is taking a little bit of truth and adding a lie to it. He wants what he says to sound like the word of God to you. He wants it to have the same effect in you, because you're going to act out of and out from what you've heard. Your ability to do anything comes out of and out from what you've heard. If faith comes by hearing, every other dumb thing we do comes by hearing too. Amen. What do you think temptation is? Come on. It's an evil inspiration. And you hear it and you feel it. Isn't that right? So you see, faith comes by hearing. That in itself, by hearing. But you have to have the backdrop of the word of God in your life, the foundation of the word of God in your life, so that you can accurately have faith develop in you. Amen. So now, getting back to Adam, it says, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. So what this to me means is it's like an extended statement. So God created man in his own image. In other words, God said, let us give them dominion over the earth. Let us give them authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every creeping thing, every tame beast. So God created man after his own image. God had that authority, didn't he? He created man with that authority. So you see what I'm saying? He didn't just give man that authority. He created man with that authority. So man had it at his creation. Right? So now when he said, let there be light, that wisdom was there for man immediately. So it's like man woke up with the understanding, this is what I have. You and I have to go to church and learn some things, don't we? We have to be taught doctrine. Here man is waking up with it. Another way of putting it is like this. God, when he created man, created him full grown. I mean, he didn't grow up like we grow up from a toddler, you know, through the years. And then we come to some understanding and we realize it's not good to do this in my pants anymore. So we change and we make decisions. Amen. Isn't that something? Adam didn't have to be potty trained. He created him full grown, or he created him with comprehension. He had wisdom at his inception. Isn't that amazing? When you talk about the fall of man, you're talking about we failed a long way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The fall of man. See? And so when you say Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and then hearing by the word of God, you are also pointing out the fact that we're having to be brought into something that Adam had in the very beginning, at his creation. And we need the school of the Holy Spirit just to get to where he was. Do we need to read our Bibles or not? You see what I'm saying? All right. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Now watch this. He said he was going to do that. And the first statement was made amongst the Godhead. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to give man. We're going to create man after our own image and after our own likeness. Give him the same authority. So this was what God's intentions were. He did that. But look at how he did it. I've often thought, and I use the translation for spirit, which is ruach, when I said it, when God breathed into man the breath of life, man became a living soul. I've often envisioned God doing that by breathing the essence of himself into the man. But the scripture clearly points out that God did everything by saying. Right? So the ruach of God entered man as he came to life, being created by God out of the dust of the earth. God reaching into the earth and creating this phenomenon, holding it up, and he spoke to it. The very first words that Adam hears is not, "Adam, wake up." That's not what he hears. Now you need that, don't you? You use an alarm clock, right? But God didn't say, "Adam, wake up." What did God say to him? I mean, the very first words that God said to him was, "Be blessed." That's the first thing that he heard. Be blessed. Goodness gracious alive. He said, "Be fruitful." That's what he said to him. "Multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, using all its vast resources for man and for God." That's what he said to him. This is how Adam woke up, hearing the blessing. See, this is why it's so important for you and I to recognize that faith for worship, faith for doing, faith for everything that we are to be involved in this world comes through that voice of God. Comes through that voice of God. Hallelujah. Live to hear his voice. Know that your prosperity, your well-being is based on what God has said. That's what it's based on. It's not based on you just doing things that you see. It's based on his word. Right? Now, if Adam woke up with that authority and that was the first thing that God said to him, God never changed it. He never changed his mind. And when Adam lost it, it had to be recaptured. Not for the sake of God, but for the sake of his creation. Because it always was God's intention to involve mankind in his universal plan. Do you hear what I'm saying? His universal plan. God has a plan that extends far beyond this planet into the universe. And he has always intended to use us in the whole process. See? So when Jesus came on the scene, he came somewhat like Adam. Now, you're going to see some movies that show Jesus coming to some kind of realization and realizing that he is the Christ and he's supposed to go suffer for mankind, growing up as an individual. Totally erroneous. Totally erroneous. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and favor with God and man. Come on now. So that comprehension where he said, "Light be," Jesus had it. He had it. So he knew who he was. Unlike most 12 years old that we know today. He knew who he was. And he didn't have to ask his parents' permission to stay back and talk to the priests and the scribes and Pharisees. He just knew. He had comprehension. And he acted in authority. Right? Remember the joke that we told about him last week? By the time his parents found him 3 days later, and on the way back, one of the neighbors of Joseph said to him, I heard that that boy stayed back 3 days. Y'all had to go back and get him. I think y'all ought to whip him. And Joseph, realizing who his real father was, looked at Mary and said, I think you should do it. Yes. Smart man. And ever since then, fathers have been saying, go to your mother. Praise the Lord. Some jokes are just worth repeating, you know? Amen. All right. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, using all his vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land, and of every tree with the seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And he gave them further instructions about the rest of the animals and everything. Right. And then he tells them, that tree over there in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't partake of that. Right? Don't partake of that. I don't want you to have any fellowship with the dark side. It's not necessary. All you need to do is fellowship with me, and you'll have everything that you need. So God gave him that authority at his inception. As he was born, the first thing that he hears is all of this authority and ability that he has. No need for him to ever become mindful of or acquainted with doubt and unbelief, which is where? In the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where it was. So he would have to purposely go there to be acquainted with it, because out of his fellowship with God, he would only know faith. He would only know faith. So faith is very important for us. And now we get back to our subject, storms. Why do we have certain storms in our lives? Why does the occurrence of such things come into our lives? We're born again. I mean, it was startling to you after you were born again when you were first tried and tempted, because you felt like you were in a bubble where that could never happen again. It was strange to you, wasn't it? It stood out to you, didn't it, when you were tried or tested for the first time after being born again? I mean, after that honeymoon period. Well, see, the reason it startled you is because you're in the place of peace. See, Adam would have never encountered a storm at all had he used his authority and stayed in his place of authority. He wouldn't have encountered a storm. He had not only his authority, but he also had the assistance of the angels, didn't he? Because in Psalms, the Bible tells us that the angels of God hearken unto the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is supposed to be synonymous with whose voice? You're a little humble about saying that, aren't you? You're a little bit too timid. But the voice of the Lord is supposed to be synonymous with your voice and my voice. Because God gave Adam the same authority. And the way he did what he did was by speaking. So Adam is going to do what? He's going to speak, and things are going to take place. So just with a spoken word, the serpent would have been overcome in the garden. Just with a spoken word. The garden would have been cleansed from that evil presence. Just with a spoken word. You see, Satan was still alive and well in the sense of him being here. He's not really well, he's really sick. He's been sick for a long time. But he was alive and here. And when God commissioned Adam, like Jesus commissioned us to go in all the world and preach the gospel, Adam and his progeny would have still come up against resistance, storms. Because it's God's decreed command and charge to fill the earth, replenish it, be fruitful and multiply. What do you think you're doing when you go out on these teams to minister to people? You're taking elements of the garden into dry places. Desert places. That's why you can go into a home when you go out as a team on the weekends or whenever you go out to minister. That's why you can go into an unbeliever's home and you can say, peace be granted to this home. Because you're using the authority that God has given you. Now, those individuals in that home want peace. They just don't realize that it comes by Jesus Christ. And they're not always ready to receive Jesus Christ. But that's why you're there. You're there in your authority to give them an opportunity to receive Christ. You can bring their storms to a place of calm and peace so that they can, with a clear mind, make a decision. Isn't that what happened to you when you came to Christ? Weren't you in a terrible storm of life? Come on, depravity, wretchedness, some of us, alcoholism, drug abuse, all kinds of things, storms. But the Holy Spirit came and brought a relative peace, and as long as He was speaking, those other things couldn't do anything in my life. They didn't have the same power and pull on me as long as the Holy Spirit was speaking. And so I was being dealt with. You were being dealt with. We were under tremendous conviction of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit. And then as we listened to the Holy Spirit and gave way to the words that He was speaking, we, by grace through faith, were born again. Right? Now, that could not have happened had not the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, had not ushered in that grace for us to make that decision. When you go out to minister to people, you're operating in that authority that God has given you, and you go into a home. Now, you don't have to say to the person that you, the home that, you know, that you're in and into, you don't have to say to them, you know, I'm going to speak peace to your home. He says, speak peace to it. You can do that under your breath. You're the one carrying the authority. And why are you saying that? Because when you're ministering the gospel, there is peace. Right? What did the Bible tell us to do? The Bible says, pray for those in authority. Right? Pray for these that are in authority, like kings and presidents, and pray for nations and all, that there might be peace in the world. For what purpose? So we can preach the gospel. How much success would you have going to preach the gospel right now where ISIS has all of their armament set up? Come on now. See? You can't preach the gospel very well in a place where there's war. You got limited accessibility. So He says, pray for peace. Pray for those in authority. Pray for the world. Why? So that you can live a peaceable life. So that you can go out and preach the gospel. So when you go into a home, it's like going to another nation. You go into that territory. You're going, you know, you don't want to necessarily take over, but you're taking dominion. You really are. You're doing what God told us to go do. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. When you enter a house, say, peace be in this house. If that house is worthy of the peace, then your peace will come upon that house. Now watch this. You can't speak something that you don't have. If peace is not in you, you can't release peace to somebody else. Right? So you see the point then. You see how true this is. That when God created Adam, the very first words He said was, you're blessed. Now be fruitful, multiply, take dominion, replenish the earth. That's the very first words He said. He didn't say, Adam, wake up, I got something to tell you. Adam is created in the hands of God, and God says to him, be blessed. And he comes alive. He comes alive and he realizes, I'm blessed. I know what I'm to do. How many of you watched Star Trek? Maybe not recently, but how many of you know Mr. Data? Some of you don't want to raise your hands. That's okay. It's all right. Whenever they empowered Data, he just woke up and he knew exactly what he needed to do because he was already programmed. Right? That's all I'm saying. When Adam was spoke to by God, automatically he was programmed with that authority, with that enlightenment, with that wisdom, with everything that he needed to go into all the world. See, the commission that Jesus gave us as Christians was no different from what God said to Adam. Go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Their wretchedness, their storms, their calamities. All of the havoc of this life. Be saved from it. What a wonderful thing it is to be used of God to lead someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that they can have peace. Happiness. God wants us to have that. That was his original intention. It's for us to be fruitful, multiply, to be blessed. But it comes by hearing. And again, the sad thing is that we've created formulas. We've created ways to worship. And if the preacher don't sing at the end of his sermon and sweat a little bit, he didn't do nothing. And you didn't get nothing. But even if he did do that, you didn't get nothing. Or else you wouldn't be still looking. You wouldn't still be hungry. You wouldn't still be thirsty. That is a form of godliness, right? Now, I'm not just picking on preachers that do that, you know, because there's other ways that you can minister, so-called minister, without even doing things like that. That just happens to be a part of the black culture. But you can do all, there's all kinds of formulas and ethnic cultural ways to so-called minister the gospel that the Lord has nothing to do with. He's not even in it. But we have accepted it because that's all we know. Well, so it's encumbered. I mean, it's important that we understand how the kingdom works. God saved you not just to go to heaven. See? God saved you so that you could establish his kingdom on the earth. Because he's coming here. It's not about us going there. He's coming here. Read your Bible. Right? The Bible says the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. And we're the ones that are supposed to be taking the glory throughout the earth to fill it. Recreating the Garden of Eden in various places in the world until all of the world virtually becomes a glorious Garden of Eden. And that's through the preaching of the gospel, the laying on of hands, casting out devil, taking up serpents, crushing the head of the devils, the serpents. That's using your authority. But I can go into some churches this very morning and I can preach about casting out demons and people will get antsy and want to leave. Church people. And it's their right and authority to do it, but they're afraid of it. I could go and talk about speaking in tongues and they'll get nervous. See, it's because we have relied on all of these cultural, ethnic manners in ritualism, which is really not spiritual worship at all. You know, we use the scripture that says that, you know, we needed counsel, right? You took note of it, that we need counsel. And if we take the counsel of the Lord to heart, what does he do? He prepares us to make war. Right? Don't think that you're not called to warfare. Don't you think for one moment that you're not called to warfare. See, the Christian life is a call to warfare. Spiritual worship is warfare. See? Because true worship really is exerting the kingdom of God in the earth realm. Satan is out there trying to hold on to pieces of this earth realm. That's why he doesn't like us. Because the Lord said, wherever you go, wherever your feet trod, you can take dominion. Take it. Take it. It's yours. The kingdom of God suffers violence, the Bible says. Right? And what are we doing? We're taking our part of it by force. I've got a part. You've got a part of this. You got a part of this. You're like them people going to California to find gold, put a flag up and claim some property. This is mine. And no one can stop you from achieving that. There is no one in the earth realm that has the authority to stop you from taking what belongs to you. What belongs to you, what belongs to me, is that which is allocated by God. Remember the parable of the man who went on a long journey and he gave to his servant talents. He gave one talent. He gave another two talents. He gave another five talents. He gave them responsibility for those increments of money based on what he had knowledge of about his servants. He knew they were capable of handling what he gave them, so he entrusted it to them so that they would take it and do something with it, and then on his return, he would receive profit. That's a parable about God himself. To every man is measured the measure of faith. That's our talent. Now that talent might be one for you, two for another, five for another. I've got faith to do some things that you don't have faith for. God has given you faith for what is possible for you. Now if you don't use your faith, it will not come to pass. You can pray for more faith and it will not come. That is one prayer I guarantee you will not come to pass. Because you don't pray for faith. You use the faith that you have. Which gets us right back to what we said earlier. Faith comes by hearing. So when God speaks to you, you must be diligent to act on what he says. I'm telling you, I have seen this happen in the prison ministry. I've seen this happen in this ministry here, this church ministry. I've seen it happen in the marketplace where I minister to people. I give them something from God, like God gives a man a talent. And it's the word of the Lord. And if they don't act on it, immediately, friends, family, other people will come. And they will challenge that word, and that individual will not do what they've been told, which means they are in disobedience to God. I've seen people struggle to come to church when God has ordained for them to be here. I've seen individuals struggle to get things right in their life out of prison when they've gotten a word from the Lord and given specific instruction about what to do, and they end up right back in jail again. I've seen it time and time again. They're acting like the man with the one talent. They're burying what God has given them. And they're trying to protect themselves. They're listening to bad counsel. Because evil and corrupt counsel that comes from another source will always compromise the word of God in your life. Cause you to compromise it. And remember, when the Lord spoke to Abram, he said, come out from among your family, your friends, your relatives, the familiarity of your home, and come out to a place, and I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to speak to you. He wanted to have conversation with the man. And if Abram had not have been willing to just turn away from everybody for the things of God, then we wouldn't be here today. He would still be searching for a man that would be willing to do that. Because Abraham is the father of our faith. What is Abraham the father of? Which means what? Abraham is the father of all of us who hear from God. Because faith is generated from what I hear. That's more important than anything, sweetheart. What has God said to you? What has he said to you? That will keep you alive. See? This is what corrupted the whole world. Because Adam and Eve didn't obey what they heard, they compromised. And that which was a blessing then became a curse. Where was the blessing? The blessing was in Adam. Remember, that's how he came alive, when God blessed him. So the blessing was in him. And when he disobeyed God, then that blessing in him became a curse. And then the Lord said, now the earth is cursed for your sake. That's what he said. It's cursed for your sake. That meant Adam couldn't do nothing about it. Because on the sake of him and because of his actions, that which was a blessing became a curse. The only way that the earth could be blessed again is for Adam to be saved. But the Savior hadn't come. He didn't have a Savior. God made atonement for his sin. You know that he took an animal, a lamb, and he sacrificed it and made skins of clothing for him to cover them. But that was just to keep him. Right? So you understand, the blessing was in Adam. Now, this ought to encourage you now. Come on, you ought to be seeing something before I get to it. What I want to tell you is that the blessing is in you. It's in you. You're not trying to get a blessing. I don't come to church to get blessed. I'm one with the blessing. It's in me. It's in you. See, we try to be humble. Bless our sweet little hearts. We try to be humble, meek, and lowly, and kind. And we're walking around with an atomic bomb on the inside. Walking around with all this power and authority. And we're praying, oh Lord, get the devil off me, please. Help me, Lord. I just don't know if I can make it if you don't do something. I'm serious. That would be funny if it wasn't so serious. That sounds like somebody has had too much of the wrong thing to drink. Huh? And we're going to get you sober. Somebody go get us a black pot of coffee. We're going to douse this fella. A stiff cup of coffee will wake you up. Amen. It's called the preaching of the gospel. Amen. The word will wake you up. See, a lot of times, and see, this helps us understand storms now. A lot of times when we begin to encounter storms, the first thing we want to think is, God, what's happening? God, help me. God, do something. And Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. That meant that they were supposed to row that boat and go to the other side no matter what happened. It doesn't make no difference if a storm does. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Look here. Earlier on, they're saying, Master. Right? Come on. And then when he's asleep, he ain't acting like no master to me. You don't act like you even care no more. Waking up, God, wake up. We're dying. But earlier, Master, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, I've seen it until I get in trouble. And when I get in trouble, I don't know who's the master, but whoever it is, please stop the storm. Whoever it is, please stop the storm. Right? Now, Jesus could have, I don't doubt that Jesus had knowledge of the storm before it happened. I don't doubt that. He probably had knowledge of it and just said, I'm going to take a nap and we're going to see how they're going to handle it. Yeah. And he was taking a good nap. He expected them to have learned lessons from what they had already been through and know how to apply themselves in the present dilemma. But they missed it. So when he got up and he calmed the storm and the wind and everything, look at their response. Who is this? Master! Oh, if we could just live in yesterday, we'd be all right, wouldn't we? Yesterday, when it was peace. Yesterday, when God answered that prayer. Woo, met them needs. Now I'm in a storm, got more needs. We want to live in yesterday. Every time God answers a prayer, every time God meets a need, it's supposed to usher you and I to a greater place of faith. Not that we go murmuring and complaining and groping about what happened yonder. But what am I supposed to be doing right now, Lord? Which brings me to the other part of this message on storms. What is the renewed mind in us supposed to be looking for in the storm? You have a renewed mind. You have the mind of Christ. What should you be looking for in the storm? See, when Jesus and the disciples were going across to the other side, they were going to what's called the Gadarenes near Decapolis. And in that area, in that region, there was a legion of demons, and they had their headquarters in this man. Demons like regional authority. Groups of them will get together and they will take over certain areas. Right. See, there are certain areas in Chicago. You better not go down there unless you're full of the Holy Ghost and know what you're doing. A Christian or whoever you might be. The Bronx. You hear what I'm saying? There are places you just don't go. I don't care who you are. There was a lady, I think this was a lady, I wish I could tell you exactly who the ministry was. It just came back to me as I said that her husband gave a testimony. I think it was her husband gave a testimony of, or it was the lady and her husband, vice versa, one or the other. They made a decision to go to a certain part of the city, and it was either Chicago or the Bronx. And they were going to drive down there and do a particular thing, and they got checked in their spirit about it. And the Lord said, don't do that. Yeah, but I know that part of the town. I drive through there often. It ain't no big deal. I'll be fine. And they went anyway. Lost their lives. Christian. See? It was a woman. That's right. And I think the husband was giving the testimony. She knew that she wasn't supposed to go because the Lord checked her in the spirit. In other words, the Lord spoke to her. No, don't do that. This is not a good time. There are areas that demons set up regional authority. And they collectively come together so that they can do their business. Now, you as a believer have been commissioned to go into all the world. But even Paul was dealt with by the Holy Spirit not to go into certain places. And directed to go into others. So we're going to go in all the world, but we're going to go at the word of the Lord. You got to go at the word of the Lord. So even when you're doing your weekend or midweek ministry where you're going on knocking on doors and ministering to people and their families, be led of the Spirit. Look to the Lord. Don't just think you can just go anywhere. Follow the Holy Ghost. That's why he prepares you. That's why people look familiar to you. That's why an article in a home gets your attention, because in a dream or vision, you saw that, so you know you're in the right place. He prepares you. Everything that's done in the kingdom is done by faith. I'm not out here to just do anything on our own. We're still here as a church because it's a kingdom thing. Just like Elijah was receiving food from those ravens and had water to drink until the time it was, God says, time for you to move. And he removed the ravens and the creek dried up. Probably because he's getting comfortable and he wasn't listening to the word of the Lord. And he had to move. I don't know it, but hey, I know how I am. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, you know, from my perspective, that's the way I am sometimes. I need the word of the Lord to give me that unction, because we get settled in some of our ways and what we think is right. But I need a word from the Lord, and you need a word from the Lord. That's how your faith is generated. But you see, here they are approaching this area, and all of this storm and this raging of the seas comes up. It's demonic. It's not natural. It's demonic because that legion went out or sent a delegation, since the legion is thousands of demons. They could just send a few of them out there and just stir it up the sea. Scare them. Go out there and scare them. Don't let them bring Jesus in here. We know who he is. Don't let them bring Jesus in here. Stop them. And the disciples didn't know why they were in the storm. Like many of us, we haven't realized. Watch this. When you're in a storm, you must obey the word of the Lord, because God always speaks to you before you enter a storm. That's the precedence that he has set. He always speaks to you before you enter the storm. If you will stay true to his word and do what he says, you will make it through the storm. You will. You'll make it. Right? So what the disciples failed to realize is they had a word. Let us go to the other side. Us. I'm going with you. We're going to the other side, right? So why the storm? They were brought into a situation where God was allowing them to contend for the freedom of that man. And not only for the freedom of that man, but for the deliverance of a whole community of people. So when they encountered that storm, because they weren't prepared, they forgot all about the will of the Lord. Now it's all about me, my safety. Help, Jesus. I could get hurt. Don't you care? Where are you, God? You remember what Charlie Brown says? I said, I don't know why everybody's always picking on me. Some of you remember that, some of you may not. I don't know why everybody's always picking on me. You ain't been listening, Charlie. You haven't been listening at all this time you've been in church. You haven't been listening at all. They were contending for the freedom of that man. Now see, demons will house themselves in a person, and you find it throughout the world in witch doctors, and the witch doctor has control over the whole village. That's right. You'll find it in other individuals in places like India, right? And these individuals will have a tremendous presence of demons, and people will go to them for everything, to be healed, to pray for their family, and all kinds of things. And that is their source. Demons want to be worshiped like God. That's it. And the disciples were contending for the freedom of that man, which was the central place of the authority of the legion of demons. And Jesus went there for the sole purpose. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He didn't think about it. He wasn't trying to figure it out. He knew it. Otherwise, he would have stayed there longer. He sets the man free and then gets back in the boat and goes back to the other side. Doesn't even have a Bible study. Nothing. Didn't set up any meetings. The man says, let me go with you. He says, no, you go tell your friends what the Lord has done for you. Amen? All right. So the man goes and he's got this one message. I once was blind, but now I see. I had a bunch of demons, but they're all gone. And everybody knows I'm telling the truth because I ate all y'all's cats and dogs every night. I scared all of your children. Stories were written about me. The hunchback of such and such and all that kind of stuff. Wolf man, you know what I'm saying? So they listened to him and it changed the environment of those 10 cities. And the Bible says when Jesus went back, they brought lame, blind, demon-possessed people from all quarters, and they were all healed. That one man, because of his deliverance, set up the whole community for revival. So we've got to stop thinking, poor old me, why am I going through what I'm going through? You are contending for someone's salvation, their healing, their deliverance, maybe a whole family, household salvation. You could be contending for a whole community. And you'll never know it as long as you're pitying yourself and living out of your feelings. And Paul said, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God concerning you. And he's qualified to say it, isn't he? Because he had a lot of storms. He encountered all kinds of storms. But because he contended for what God wanted him to contend for, and he had knowledge and wisdom in it, we have 2/3 of the New Testament by one man that was raised up to minister specifically to nappy-headed Gentiles. Nobody else had that commission but Paul himself. And if he hadn't have been willing to overcome his storms, we wouldn't have the ministry that we have today that assures us that we have been grafted in, glory to God. Grafted in to God's central purpose and have the same blessing that Adam had. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And begin to purposely praise God when you begin to have your bits of storms and your bouts. Right? Because you know that God has ordained for you to be involved, to make a difference in the world. There's some other stuff I'd like to get on. We don't have time to do it, but I'm going to tell you right now. We are not supposed to be a part of that crowd. No justice, no peace. We are members of the body of Christ, sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, and we can change that whole thing by saying, I don't have to carry no sign. I can say and make a difference. So when you begin to see these things in your community to disturb you, Look to the Lord. Let him give you a word and begin to say what the Lord says for you to say, and you will make a difference. Isn't that right? Amen. We are people with power and authority. So speak to your storm. Say, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to the other side. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's do it right now. I want you to be mindful right now of the various storms that you've had in your life. Just stand to your feet with me. I just want you to think about the storms that you may have been recently going through. I'm not asking you to tell me what your storms are, right? Because I'm not going to forecast rain or anything like that. Amen? I don't have my Doppler running so I can read you. All I want you to do is to be mindful of the storm, whatever form it may take. It doesn't make any difference. It's a storm. It can be a personal storm, a financial storm. It could be a family storm. It could be something to do with your work, but it's a storm. Jesus said, peace be unto you. And if that's not peace, it's a storm. I don't care what it is. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. If it's not peace, it's a storm. But there's a reason for that thing. Go to the other side of it. Now, before that happened, what did the Lord say to you? What did he tell you? What has God been dealing with you about before you entered that storm? Think on that. And coupled with that knowledge, just close your eyes a moment. Because I want you to concentrate on just what your storm is, not somebody else's. And I want you to begin to think about what the Lord has said to you. Just think about what the Lord said. Yes, Lord, I see that. I see it. I see what you said. I haven't forgotten it. It's still present there in my thoughts. Now look at the storm. Now look back at what the Lord said. Now take what the Lord said and put it in your right hand. If you need to, just put your hand out and ball your fist up. Take what the Lord said and put it in your right hand. Because God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? The word of the Lord is your staff. Now take that staff and point it toward the storm. You can do that in your heart, but point it toward the storm. That's your staff, that's your power, that's your authority. You are going to go through that storm. And you're going to get to the other side and fulfill what God said to you that you have in your hand. So, Father, right now we thank you for this authority. We thank you for this word. And right now, I want you to do this in whatever way you want to do it. But right now, I want you to speak to your storm and command it to be at peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to these storms that are ahead of me, that are in between what you have for me to do on the other side. I speak to my storm and I command it to be at peace in the name of Jesus. Right now, I command you, storm, to be calmed, winds to cease. I'm going through in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. We give you thanks, just like the Apostle Paul said.